All right, everybody, welcome back to Super Freak. I am your host, Talia. Here, we decode human behavior, identity, and becoming through a frequency first, what I call quantum psychosomatic lens. Happy to be back with you all. Today's episode is for the part of you that still thinks something is wrong with you, the part that keeps circling outcomes that kind of don't match your capacity, what you feel you're putting into the level of work that you're doing, or your potential. And for the part of you that assumes the only logical explanation is, I must somehow be doing it wrong, or I'm unworthy, or how come I'm not getting this? A lot of shame narrative and story. So, you're not unworthy, you're patterned. And with that, let's jump right into this episode. So first, unworthiness is a lack pattern. And if you are new to my work, then you might be interested in grabbing either the digital download of the book before I unpublish it to figure out what the SLAVE acronym is, or you can go back to early podcast episodes where I outline the whole thing. But unworthiness is a pattern that is nested or housed under the lack umbrella. Okay, it isn't an emotion, it's a field configuration. Worthiness isn't some like psychological flaw that you get over with enough journaling or ritual or ceremonies where you burn things, you write letters, or with enough, I don't know, tarot affirmation that somehow you can just move past it. Even talk therapy isn't going to address patterned unworthiness. It is a response. We learn unworthiness as a patterned response to early environments where your nervous system had to learn how to survive. So let's talk about how unworthiness actually forms. So if you were in an environment where belonging required any kind of self-erasure, what do I mean by that? Meaning that you had to contort parts of yourself in order to have some kind of feeling of belonging, that's a self-erasure pattern or strategy. If you grew up in an environment where love was conditional, that's going to be another accommodating strategy to patterned unworthiness. If you grew up in an environment where safety depended on staying small, another self-erasure pattern. If attention was chaotic, inconsistent, or unsafe, in my experience, I can tell you that I had very inconsistent masculine energy in my life. That inconsistency caused my nervous system very early on to be in a state of preparation. Okay, so I was like braced all the time. I know when my body is shutting down, when I'm actually withholding my breath. Like I am literally holding it, not even in an exhale. So even if you listen to my early podcasts, you can see how quickly I spoke, how much I was just really wanted to get it out, what I needed to say. That's a pattern of me performing for some type of acceptance. If you caught the last Substack on this evolutionary trajectory of me, you know, updating my, let's say, online persona to match my soul name, the process I've been through, and how the total and complete collapse of anything performative has been my latest integration, then please, I encourage you to go read that. It's a very vulnerable Substack for me, an essay. It is behind a paywall, but I think you can unlock a free whatever trial period through Substack that will maybe help you get some context on what happens when you have an anxiously braced nervous system and how that is formed from chaotic or inconsistent or unsafe parenting. This happens a lot with kids that are that come from divorce. So if you had to prove in any way that you had to be chosen or you had to perform in order to be chosen, that will also lead to a very anxious nervous system. This will also accommodate an unworthiness pattern. So if you were a certain type of way energetically, like let's say your brilliance overwhelmed the people who raised you, they didn't know what to do with your type of energy, that will also accommodate an unworthiness pattern. So I'm going to pause really quickly and talk about what I mean by accommodation. I talk a lot about this in the book. I talk a lot about this in the hub, where we repattern all of these things from a foundational 101 perspective. And soon the advanced version of that will be launching by the beginning of 2026, called the Pattern Lab, where it will be a 201, 301 advanced, strictly focusing on pattern literacy and repatterned from a very different perspective. More advanced by now, you will have, let's say, more fluency in the language of frequency, and you'll feel really comfortable with being able to track them in the body, and you're really starting to learn how to transmute them on your own, and you're ready for more advanced work. That will be the Pattern Lab, and that is going to be launching in the next couple of weeks. Okay, accommodation. Know that very, very early on, as a very young child, okay, even in the womb at conception, you're already starting to become the latest rendition of your family lineage combined. Enter your last name, 75.0, right? How many times you've been reiterating with the same people in your life, different, ethnicity, same background data, same serif, different font, this kind of thing. So that conditioning, that pre-code, if you will, is going to produce experiences for you to either confirm or delete or become aware of the patterns that you're running. So your childhood teed you up perfectly to learn about unworthiness patterns and about lack patterns and self-abandonment patterns. Some of you had trauma based on a family inheritance of abuse or running self-sacrifice patterns and abuse. This is, again, all part of the SLAVE acronym: sacrifice and control, lack scarcity, addiction abuse, victim consciousness, and then epigenetics. Encourage you to go listen to those podcasts. Okay, so I say that because these strategies get created these behaviors that you're eliciting, you don't know as a young child what all of this means because your brain is still developing, but it is growing and creating synaptic connections to the tune of like millions and millions, per day. So your little neurons are firing. You don't understand that you're creating these behavioral strategies that are accommodating these underlying, epigenetic programming. We have no idea. We're just trying to play in the dirt and have someone teach us how to co-regulate our nervous systems. So that is what I mean when I say that your behavior is accommodating and your emotions are accommodating and how you navigate your reality are all accommodating an underlining frequency distortion pattern that you are not aware of. And the whole thing we're doing here with quantum psychosomatics and what I'm doing with Super Freak and this kind of field that I've created is for you to learn the language of your experience, close all these, I call them recursion loops, which is just feedback loops that are running on a innate and a perpetual intelligence, just like cells in nature, okay? For you to become aware of, close the loop, and then return back to your prime baseline reality. Prime baseline reality is your blueprinted, source coded, highest optimal blueprint, or let's say roadmap to living an awakened life without all of this polarity and contradiction in your field. All of this frustration and stagnation that you feel like you're running up against. So in QP, right, which is just the application that I've created in order for us to be able to, transmute all these patterns, unworthiness is not an identity. It's a conditioned contraction of your field. So a survival-based, geometric structure that your system built to make chaos predictable. So you're not the problem. This is why this work ideally can't be taken personally. It's the pattern that is the problem. And that's what we're working on when we do all of this work. So I want to talk about when I say geometry, because energy does not have containment. Everything is energy and frequency and vibration oscillating at variated rates. That energy gets assigned to an algorithm, or let's say has innate and perpetual intelligence within it. And once we use our intention as creators, we can utilize, we can take all of that photonic particle information, that energy, and start containing it through a geometric structure. That is essentially what nature has done so brilliantly with Fibonacci. Everything has a pattern, a very intelligent, perfectly orchestrated pattern set. Energy creates geometry. Your system utilizes that geometry. That's what architecture is. That's how things get built. Things need structure. And then with uncertainty or chaos in childhood, that information or that intelligence is chaotic, right? Bouncing, uncertain. And then your nervous system reads that chaos as predictability and then recreates that chaos in your life. That's why you keep attracting, let's say, a partner or people or places or things that do not feel like they match with what you really want. Okay? So what we're trying to do here is create more coherence where your internal geometry or architecture starts to be reflected externally as well, and there's no difference between those things. Okay. So part two of this is kind of the mechanics, which I talk a lot about in layers, right? Cognitive, emotional, somatic, behaviorally. Unworthiness is your nervous system doing its job. Truly. It does it so well, okay, that you think it's you. That's where this whole thing goes awry. So let's break this down. Your nervous system learned very early that expanding and being yourself didn't feel safe. So, reorganizing yourself to fit into the family expectation and dynamics by way of shrinking or what I call self-erasure keeps me safe. So you learned performance very early on, how to edit, self-edit yourself and self-edit your authenticity in order to keep you behaviorally and emotionally safe. So your body, your brilliant, adaptive, traumatized body created cognitively a loop that says, I'm not ready yet, right? An emotional, let's say, residue of shame and doubt and hesitation, and a somatic signature which is what I call, let's say, the way that your body constantly responds, of throat tightness, freeze response, fawn response, fight, chest collapse, okay, and a behavioral pattern set of sabotage, procrastination, perfectionism, performanism for love, or performing for love, and then your energetic field stays in a low bandwidth for receiving and a high bandwidth for anticipating threat. So hypervigilance at the expense of capacity. So another thing I will be working on a lot and continue to work on a lot with all of you is your capacity to be able to take in more of the things, let's say more of your own light. And through that capacity, like expanding and contracting your nervous system elasticity changes your biofield. The stronger and the more adaptive and dynamic your biofield, the more you don't have a problem bringing in loads and loads of money without completely collapsing or taking enormous risks, right? Like, let's say, investing in a huge plot of land and building something from scratch, or cutting bait on an overpriced apartment and actually making that change. When we want to make these big swings in our life, why we feel terrified and scared and like our chest tightens is because our somatic signature and our behavioral patterning is all accommodating an energetic field of low bandwidth for receiving, high bandwidth for anticipating threat. And that contradiction keeps you in paralysis, not because you're unworthy, okay? It's because your body found a combination that keeps you in predictability, which is what the brain's job is, okay? So you don't really get updates. You stay in a very fixed, very rote set of predictability and patterns because it's too scary to do anything otherwise. Okay, next, what is the distortion level here? Okay, what is this distortion loop? Why you keep misreading your own signal? So this is the part that gets really frustrating for people who have done frequency work for a while or done this level of transformation work for a while, and there has been some big, sticky detox periods. And this is kind of you get at another crossroads. And there's constant crossroads within yourself. Okay, there's edges you're going to run up against with yourself that aren't going to feel comfortable. And this is where the mind wants to panic and blame the work or blame me or whatever else. And I can tell you that this work is simply mirroring the deeper parts of you that you are either going to sit in the fire with and meet or avoid. Okay. And that has nothing to do with me, because the stronger my signal gets towards more coherence, the stronger my reflection back to you guys. And I get it. Not everybody wants to see themselves with this level of clarity. It is not easy. But once you see it, you cannot unsee it. So when you want to slow things down and kind of, let's say, go back to a more comfortable place, you're going to have the knowledge and you're basically just stalling the integration, which makes that contradiction of your somatic signature, your emotional, cognitive, emotional behavior layer even harder. So I've said this before, you're already in discomfort. You're already in hell. You might as well just keep going. Okay, because on the other side of this, I know you guys have felt this before, even if you haven't yet, the other side of this work is a tremendous amount of capacity, more peace, more awareness, more knowing, more synchronicity. And it may not look the way that you think in your mind, because our minds are really good at creating fantasy as like a carrot, right? Our mind operates in a reward-based system. We think that we've done all this work, therefore, where's my shit? Where's my cake? I deserve this stuff. If I do X, I'll get Y. This work absolutely penetrates all of those defenses. And what you're left with is tremendous levels of presence. And the capacity that you're creating is presence in all areas of your life where you don't feel like you have to run from, where nothing actually feels scary, where you can commit to a location, you can commit to the level of discipline required to build the things that you want. For some of you, maybe that's a homestead, right? Maybe that's getting out of a city and moving to more nature, but you don't know how to do it. You're super overwhelmed. So you immediately get on the internet and start searching what's next, what's next, what's next. And you bypass the work of that present moment of you just sitting in the potential of what that feels like to do something else and make that level of change. And what would that actually look like or feel like if I relied on myself and my body in that way? Do I really trust that level yet? Do I trust my body enough to make this level of risk or quote unquote risk? What am I really afraid to lose here? This is where the work is. Like when I tell you, I think some people are just waiting for these enormous wins overnight. And when you remove some filters that have been haunting you for a while, you'll get a little bit of a pink cloud moment. You will. And then that lifts because you have to actually, let's say a ping in resonance, okay, that got you through some sticky layers first. But now you have to meet that version of you that has to hold up that level of clarity. So you might, let's say, get in a helicopter and fly over the Grand Canyon, but like hiking up to the summit is a totally different level of conditioning. Some people get to see it from a very different perspective. I'll say this, manifestation, creation is akin to a hot air balloon, okay? Awakening and awareness is very much like a hot air balloon. You have to create enough fire, okay, and torque and energy to blow up the balloon first, okay? And then you have to be able to have enough strength and signal to get that balloon to fly safely and stay there regardless of the conditions. So some of you have extremely strong cognitive vision, right? You'll project out of your minds the things that you want at the expense of the body, and you'll get just enough torch to like get that fire for a second. That balloon stays, let's say, full in constant waiting mode, never off the ground. And then you'll bail it, create another idea, and then the balloon deflates, boom. New idea, new fire, new energy. Balloon never gets off the ground. It gets off the ground, but it can't maintain and sustain momentum. This is the heart. This is the razor sharp edge of this work, is understanding how to create enough momentum, kickstart, right? The physics of what awakening is understanding coherence, the mechanics of coherence. And I've said this before, I talked a lot about it in the beginning part of 2025, identity, direction, speed. Really, it's coherence, momentum, and then torque. Do you have enough energy, okay, to maintain the level of consistency to keep that flame alive, to keep that balloon up in the air so you can enjoy the view, right? You can not be afraid of what happens, even if a gust of wind takes you over to the side. You're okay. You trust your ability to be able to navigate those environments. So yes, your view changes as you become more aware of what these patterns are, these distortion loops are, how you're creating your reality. What you gain is the presence and the peace and the capacity in your own nervous system to be able to navigate uncertainty without having to have so much contradiction in your way in order to do that. So you've been mistaking physiological contraction for the evidence of truth, right? This is really where the distortion loop is. You feel a drop in your chest before you ask for more, right? You kind of get frozen in the moment when your desire expands really big and you get this vision and you think you're doing all the things and these things don't materialize the way you felt them or saw them. And then all of a sudden you kind of gaslight yourself and feel like you're getting punked. No, you're not misinterpreting the pattern. Part of the pattern lab is really learning discernment and how to sharpen your perceptual prowess in pattern interpretation, because it's all body somatic literacy. These things have to work in conjunction. Also, understanding fascia intelligence, which I'll be talking about a lot more in the field hub in the coming year, more about these somatic signatures and really body-based intelligence and so on and so forth. So your nervous system doesn't measure your worth, okay? It's not sitting there going, oh, this is a 3.6, this is a 4.1, this is that. It measures and responds to familiarity, okay? It's constantly optimizing off of tremendous amounts of data points that you've experienced up to present time. It's taking all of that data, like any kind of AI right now. The more you interact with it, the more it learns about you. This is what machine learning is. This is just this is a mimicry, okay? AI is mimicry, and it does it really, really well if you understand how, let's say, machine learning works, cognitive quantum computation works, which is what your system is. I've talked a lot about this, how consciousness operates much like a quantum computation system, an ontological system that takes intelligence and then it indexes it by behavior and attribution, etc. So I talk about that in the book. Go check that out. Okay. So organic intelligence is your system. It's taking everything you've learned and it's learning about your predictability, your patterns, rinse and repeat. And then it's going to, if you're not aware of it and learning how to recondition it and work with it, it's going to create predictions for you. And then your trajectory is going to either fit into those predictions or it's not, right? Down to the way that you think. That's why the game here of this reality is a perceptual one. It is all about perceptual control. And if you're not in your own sovereignty with how you're deconditioning and reconditioning and reprogramming and deprogramming yourself, then who is? Who's doing that for you? This is like the meta conversation of all of this stuff. So I get very granular in helping everybody learn the language of frequency so they can do this for themselves, okay? And it's extremely, you know, the more honest I am about my process and the more I'm in this with you, yes, I have this, you know, ability to be able, it's just part of my consciousness. It's just the systems are everything for me and it's just part of who I am. But yes, I can pull this information down, metabolize it and interpret it and then I can teach it to you and you guys can learn this for yourself. And then ideally you kind of blow everything up I've created and you create something for yourself. So you truly are the architect of your reality. You're doing that anyway. But consciousness architecture is about understanding the mechanics of how this works at every level. And then eventually you don't need contradiction anymore in order to remember that you're infinite. And from that place, you become a completely different creator. There's very little attachment. You start to actually expand molecules of time. Things get kind of fun. It's not just like Harry Potter shit. It's a bit of a reality that you live inside of. So just notice that. Okay, let me see what else I want to share with you. let's talk about how to, let's say, deprogram these things, or kind of the quantum reframe, if you will, around identity specifically. So I'm going to be doing an entire call on this extensively in the hub coming up, I believe, this week, Wednesday. So if you're listening to this in real time, then go check that out. Of course, all of these things are, these calls are recorded and you can listen to them at your own pace. And they're all frequency encoded. Everything is a live, living field. So it doesn't matter if you're on the call live or if you listen to the recording. The live experience gives you access to me to ask questions, things like that. So identity is not who you are. Okay. This entire process is about deconditioning who you think you are and then rebuilding, right, a identity architecture that is more in line with your prime reality, your prime frequency signature. And I talk about frequency signatures in the book, so go check that out. So identity is not who you are. It's who your nervous system had to become, which means you are not kind of working on your worth. You are working on your capacity to hold the truth of who you already are, right? Go back and re-listen to that. Worth is not something that is earned. It is not something that you have to prove. It is not something that you perform. Worth is your baseline frequency. Pattern is the distortion that accommodates that. So if you have a really low baseline of worthiness, patterns are going to be created to accommodate that so you can become aware of that unworthiness and work on it. Meaning not like working on your worth, but deconditioning and deprogramming and repatterning your capacity to hold, again, the truth of who you already are. So it's not like recreating a new identity. You're dissolving these things and you're revealing your prime reality, your prime frequency signature. So this work is not about fixing you. It's kind of unhooking your identity from survival geometry that trained you. So it's not about fixing you. It's unhooking, dissolving your identity from the survival geometry that trained you. And when you do that, then things get really interesting. Things get very, very interesting. And I'll say, this year has been an extreme sport with pulses of detox. But what that tells me is we're at a level of consciousness that we can actually start to clear at such extremely deep levels that in my soul's life, to have a month or 4 months or 6 months of pretty intense detox in the course of a soul's life is like a blink. It's nothing. And I'll take it because I don't want to continue to operate from that level of consciousness. So what can you actually do? I'm going to leave you with this. Number one, okay, this is how you start to shift. And in the hub, we're actually going to be doing an entire meditation to re-architect all of these things, the deprogramming process for real. But start to track sensation before story. Meaning, I talk a lot about this in the book as well, pattern mapping, but sensation before story. What is my body actually trying to tell me here? Where does unworthiness live in your body? If you can name it and you don't have to translate it into meaning, you're on your way to becoming, to kind of reading reality. And I have a brand new 7-day free email series on all of this. Link is in the bio on my socials. Go and check that out. It's very good. The second thing is you want to kind of learn how to interrupt the historical pattern. So whose fear is this? Mother, father lineage. Okay, where did you learn this? And then if you can, this is where the master stroke comes in. This is again what the programs teach, is you learn to regulate the field before taking action. And I'm going to talk about that in the hub. You learn how to kind of rehearse the new pattern somatically, but not mentally. So your nervous system doesn't change because you understand something. It changes because you embody something. And that's what I work on a lot in the hub. The next thing is you want to anchor in environments that don't mirror your old pattern, which is why I talk about how where you live matters. If you're on a really, really old karmic line, you're going to get pretty hammered. So anchor in environments that don't mirror that old pattern. So your field reorganizes faster in non-familiar relational dynamics than, let's say, familiar ones. It's part of the reason why I moved around so much, so I can get different feedback loops, but now I don't have to do that. So the sixth thing is you learn how to kind of rebuild self-worth through coherence. Okay, this is consistent, contrary action, slow, kind of redundant, that you anticipate, you know, that you participate in constantly. So esteem is built through esteemable actions. So you build your self-worth through coherence, not confidence. Okay, it's not performative, it's not physiological. It is a process of deconditioning these patterns and then reconditioning them through consistent action. Okay, I will leave you with that. Please let me know how this episode landed in the comments. I always love getting those comments from you guys. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking around. And I will see you all in a couple of weeks. Be sure to continue to question everything and re-listen to this. Take notes. And I will see you in the field. Blessings.